I still did not feel any better. He did not seem to show any surprise, and I do not know if he believed me. He was probably glad to see that I had come back of my own accord, as I had promised. He gave me another reprieve. A few days after this visit of mine, they closed the dentist's surgery, and he was thrown into prison. He was going to be hanged. It was alleged that he had been running a private traffic of his own in the prisoner's gold teeth. I did not feel any pity for him. I was even pleased about what had happened. I had saved my gold crown. It might be useful to me one day to buy something, bread or life. I now took little interest in anything except my daily plate of soup and my crust of stale bread. Bread, soup, these were my whole life. I was a body, perhaps less than that even, a starved stomach. The stomach alone was aware of the passage of time.
Okay, in this section, Ellie is brought to the dentist's office so his gold tooth can be removed. But he makes up a story about being sick, and the dentist, who is a Jew from Czechoslovakia, decides not to pull out the tooth just then. Later, the dentist is put in prison and is going to be hanged. Rumor has it he was trading with prisoners' gold teeth. Ellie does not care, and in fact, he's pleased. Now he can keep his tooth and maybe trade it someday for food or to save his life. Ellie says that he is only a body now, and I think what he means is that the needs of his body are all he can think about. He is so hungry that he can think only of eating his daily bread and soup. He does not have the energy to be interested in anything else. Let's continue after the space on page 50 with the sentence beginning, "At the warehouse."
At the warehouse, I often worked next to a young French girl. We did not speak to one another, since she knew no German, and I did not understand French. She seemed to me to be a Jewess, though here she passed as Aryan. She was a forced labor deportee. One day, when Edek was seized with one of his fits of frenzy, I got in his way. He leapt on me like a wild animal, hitting me in the chest, on the head, throwing me down and pulling me up again, his blows growing more and more violent until I was covered with blood. As I was biting my lips to stop myself from screaming with pain, he must have taken my silence for defiance, for he went on hitting me even harder. Suddenly, he calmed down. As if nothing had happened, he sent me back to work. It was as though we had been taking part together in some game where we each had our role to play. I dragged myself to my corner. I ached all over. I felt a cool hand wiping my blood-stained forehead. It was the French girl. She gave me her mournful smile and slipped